It is one thing to preach sermons. There's really nothing wrong with preaching sermons. But it's another thing to speak prophetically what the Lord is saying. You can go to school and learn all kinds of things. You can study psychology and philosophy, and you know, you can go to business school and learn about business principles, and you can go to school in medicine and learn about medicine and about the body and all of that, and you can study law and all those fine details. But churches, it's not about that. Here you are called to hear the principles of the Word of God and how it relates to life. Here we step into the realm so that we can see what God is saying and tap into the goodness of the Lord. Amen? That's what we do when we come to church. We learn about God. Hallelujah. And in learning about God, we tie into where He is at this present time and what He is doing at this present time, because timing is crucial in the realm of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Every satanic agenda must be brought to naught. And so every foul spirit is bound by the Spirit of the Word of God. Glory be to God. When we stepped into this year, I shared with you the umbrella statement that this is the year of the manifestation of the glory of God. And as we went deeper, I said to you that it was the year of the woman. And then I said that it was the year of the open door. Amen? Remember all of those things? Okay. They're all related. The open door, and as we read today from Isaiah 45, we read about the doors being open. God is giving us a placement in His glory to experience the open door. And one of the things that has been common to all that we've been talking about is this very aspect, that whatever it is that God wants to do now is not founded in our works, but in our rest. Because where God wants to take us to, you cannot go in your own ability. Period. This is not doable in your strength, in your wisdom, in your knowledge, or your natural understanding. Where God is taking us now into is a realm that we've not experienced before. We've tasted it, but now it is not rehearsal. This is the real show. Glory be to God. And we need to learn how to rest in this. One of the things I've learned through the years is this, that when God wants to do something, the enemy wants to also counterfeit it. So I said to us, we must destroy the spirit of Jezebel. Now you got that right. Today I want to go a little bit deeper on what this year of the woman is all about. When we first stated this particular statement, I said to us that God in his very specific way, every time he wants to manifest his glory, has also worked very directly with women. And as we wrap up the age, he is wrapping it up with the same. Because it was a woman at the very beginning that created problems. Are you with me? Now, he wants to restore that woman. He wants to restore that woman who generated problems, because through that woman, he also said he was going to manifest his glory, the seed of the woman. And we said something in our discuss that the woman was never driven out of the garden. Remember me reading you that? It was the man that was driven out of the garden. The woman was never driven out of the garden. The woman always had access, because God's heartbeat was, I have to have her restored. Hallelujah. Now, what we're talking about here is not elementary. You know, so you got to listen real good so you don't get confused. But I know by the Spirit of God, I'll be able to deliver this truth into your spirit without confusion. Amen? Hallelujah. So he said to the woman, the seed of the what? Woman. He didn't say the seed of the man. When did women have seed? Women don't have seed. Men have seed. But he said the seed of the woman. And that seed of the woman is the manifestation of God's glory. Jesus himself. Amen? So we knew about that. We talked about the birth of Jesus and how the woman was the one that God spoke to before Jesus was to come. Remember that in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 20, talks about the birth of Jesus, how this was going to happen. And then at his resurrection, the first people that saw the manifested glory of Jesus when he rose again from the dead were who? The women. This is God trying to reestablish the role of the woman. Not to supersede the man, no, but to restore her so that she can flow with the man. Hallelujah. Now, let me take that message a little bit deeper. Come with me to the book of Judges, chapter 4. Judges chapter 4. Judges 4. Judges 4. It says, and the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. The name Ehud means I will be praised, or it also means, interestingly enough, undivided or unity. So Ehud, unity, I will praise, died. And the Lord, it says, when that happened, when unity died, when the release of praise died, the Lord sold them. That's an interesting word. The Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin. The Lord sold them, sold Israel. That's a transaction. When you talk about selling, that's a transaction. Would you agree with that? God sold them into the hand of Jabin. Jabin is probably a name, just like Pharaoh was to the Egyptians, Jabin is to the Canaanites. And so also is the name Abimelech. So Jabin, it says, into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan. Now, that name Jabin, and if you listen to me long enough, you know I like addressing names. And I find that it's important because the names tell you exactly what is happening. And that's incredible to me because when God calls a name or says something, it tells a story. And Jabin means one that God watches. But he is not a good man. So this tells me that God is watching the movement of the enemy constantly. Hallelujah. He sold Israel to them, but he was watching. You cannot go beyond what I allow. Hear this. The devil will never be able to accomplish anything in your life because God is watching. Amen? Jabin. One, God observes. He's observing him. That reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera. Sisera means one who sets the battle in array. He's a general. He's a mastermind in warfare. He knows exactly how to mobilize his forces. But the amazing thing about this is that Sisera, who is a master warrior, is going to be duped. You say, how is this going to happen? I'll show you in a moment. Because God causes him to make the biggest mistakes at the time that he was ready to deal with Sisera. And I want you to know tonight or this morning that the enemy of your soul is going to make logistic mistakes. Hallelujah. That which is against you will make serious mistakes because God is at war with your enemy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It says, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron. Sisera had 900 chariots. That's like that day's tankers. And 20 years, somebody say 20 years. What year is this? 2020. 2020. For 20 years, he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. It doesn't say he oppressed the children of Israel. It says he mightily. In other words, he oppressed the Israelites seriously, kept them limited for 20 years. And Deborah, somebody say Deborah. A prophetess. This is God's answer to those who think that women are not supposed to be ministers. Because when God is ready to deal with the one that he's been watching, dealing with the one who set an array of battle against you, at that time, God is going to raise up prophetess. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I don't know if you're hearing me yet. I'm a man. Am I not a man? Yes. This is a man talking. If it was a woman talking about this is the year of the woman, we'll say, I rebuke you, Satan. But this is a man talking to you. So you know I don't have any other agenda other than I'm talking about what God said. Amen? And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth. The wife of Lapidoth. Lapidoth means torches. Torches meaning light. Like a torch. Are you with me? Deborah means a bee. Now, what do you know about bees? Bees make honey. Bees build and create hives and order. Everything in its order. And bees have what? Queens. Are you with me so far? Okay. So that tells me that God is very strategically doing something. She judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree. She dwelt under the what? Palm tree. Now, what do you see when Jesus was about to be glorified and his last trip? What were they throwing? They were throwing palms. Are you with me? This was a... Somebody help me here. She's sitting and judging under the palm tree. Now, palm trees are interesting because when a storm comes, the palm tree just bends and bounces back. There's a new bounce coming into your life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The devil does not have the last word. God's people do. Amen? And God is raising up women to come up to begin to do what he has ordained them to do at a very specific time. Glory be to God. The tree between Ramah and Bethel. This tree was between Ramah and Bethel. Bethel is the house of God. Ramah means hill. Who's going to ascend onto the hill of the Lord? The man that has clean hands, that doesn't speak evil against his brother and so on and so forth. Hallelujah. Okay. So that's where she's sitting. It says, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Let me move faster. Between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. We know what that means, right? That's double fruitfulness and ashes. And the children of Israel came to her for judgment, and she sent and called Barak. She called whom? Barak. This is not Obama. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam. Barak means a lightning or lightning flash. Lightning moves real quick. So she goes and she calls lightning and says, come. Come out of Kadesh Naphtali. Kadesh Naphtali. Kadesh, that's two words there, Kadesh Naphtali. Kadesh means a holy place. Amen? A holy place. And Naphtali means wrestling. We will not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against what? principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So he calls him and he says to the son of Ahinoam out of Kadesh Naphtali and said unto him, "Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee." I will draw unto thee. Who's going to draw unto thee? God. "I will draw unto thee to the river of Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand." God says, "I'm going to draw him to this Kishon." And Barak said unto her, "If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not" what? "Go." Now, where did we hear that statement before? We heard it with Moses. We heard it with Moses when Moses said to God, "If you don't come with us, forget it, I'm not going." In Exodus chapter 33, I'm just trying to lay some foundations real quickly, and then we'll move on. Fast forward and speed up. Exodus 33. In verse 3, in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 3, we read these words. He says, God says, that he's taking them onto a land flowing with milk and honey. He says, "For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a" what? "Stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way." That's what God said. He says, "I'm not coming with you. You take them into the promised land. I'm not coming, because if I come, I'm going to kill everybody. My glory is going to kill all of you." And Moses says, "I'd rather die with you with me than die without you." Amen? You say, where did you get that? Based on the discourse that is going to come up. It says in verse 14, Exodus 33, verse 14, he says, "And he said," because Moses is asking for the presence of God, he says, "And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee" what? Now from one point, God says, "I'm not going to come," and now we have God saying, "I'm going to come," but he says, "When I come, you're going to have" what? "Rest." What did I say to you before? That this was a place of rest. Because God's glory is coming. Amen? He's going to manifest himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you getting this? Okay. Verse 15. "And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." Now, God says, "I'm going to come." And Moses says, "If your presence doesn't come, God help us." God said, "I'm going to manifest your glory, my glory in your midst." And he says, "If your glory doesn't come," do you agree with what God said? Believe what God said? Or are you still stuck in some past? Now, why is he saying, "If thy presence go not with me"? Well, because God said in verse 3 that God said, "I am not coming." But now God now said, "I am coming." And he's still stuck with what God said before. God doesn't want you getting stuck with what he said before. It's a new day, and it's a new thing. Amen. He will do what he says he's going to do. We need not doubt God. What happened yesterday is past. This is a new day. Yesterday, things were not cooking properly. Today, it is going to cook quickly and properly. Amen? Are you receiving this? Verse 16. For wherein shall it be known here that I am thy people? For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Found what? Grace in thy sight. Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth? Is it not going to be the difference? Is it not going to be that your glory is manifested in our lives? That this is going to be what separates us from everybody else? Verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. I know you by name. This thing that you've asked, I'm going to do this thing too. What did he ask? What did he ask? Go back to 16. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? One, his presence. So shall we be separated, two, I and thy people from the people that are upon the face of the earth, that there be a separation. And God says, you know what? I'm going to make the difference. I'm going to make a difference. That's the covenant of God. God making a covenant statement and saying, I am going to make sure that everybody knows that you are different. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. God, make me different. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It goes on, verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy what? He knew what he was talking about. He said, show me your glory. And God says, let's talk about that. Verse 19. He says, and he said, I will make all my what? Show me what? Your glory. And I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. That's the name that causes every knee to bow. Hallelujah. And every tongue to confess that Jesus is Lord. I will proclaim my name before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Hallelujah. Oh, look at this. Look at this. Verse 20. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. That's before. But remember, I read you something last week. We will see his face. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to go there, and I'm going to show you that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in just a moment. But let's go on. Next verse. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. There is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Let me stop there. God says, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Now, when God makes that statement, interestingly, he's making it regarding the strife of tongues in the book of Psalms. It tells us that God will deliver us from the strife of tongues, from every enemy, and he will place us upon a rock. Amen? Now, I'll come to that. Let's go on. 22. Is your computer stuck? And it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. 23. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. That's what he said. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, had shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So, on one hand, for Moses, God says, I'm just going to show you my glory without showing you my face. But we come to the New Testament, and God says, I'm going to show you my glory in my face. This is a new place. Amen? Amen. This is a better place. Yeah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Yeah. Anyway, Barak says to Deborah, if you don't come with me, I'm not going. Just like Moses said, God, if you don't come with me, I'm not going. And God is bringing us into a realm, in the realm of the Spirit, where both things work together. Now, why am I speaking to women today? I'm saying to you that God has an assignment, a role for you to play in this new phase of the manifestation of His glory. But you got to take your position. Amen? If you don't take your position, you lose out. God will always find somebody. Amen? Let's go back to Judges 4 in verse 9. I need to move this quickly. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. This journey shall not be for thine what? Honor. This manifestation of my glory, God is saying to us, is not for you to take and say, look what I did. No. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with God. It says, for the Lord shall do what? Sell. Just like he sold before. He says, I'm going to sell Sisera into the hand of a what? Into the hand of a what? Barak is a man. But say, I'm going to sell this man, Sisera, into the hand of a woman, just like the seed of the woman shall bruise the head. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Kadesh meaning the holy place. Verse 10. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. I want you to notice those words, arose and went up, because this is a higher level. Now, Heber, the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent onto the plain of Zinem, which is by Kadesh. And they shewed Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, was gone up to Mount Tabor. 13, and Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him from Harosheth of the Gentiles unto the river of what? Kishon. He's calling him to the river of Kishon with chariots of iron. Are you with me so far? This is God deceiving Sisera. Let's go on. And Deborah said unto Barak, up. What did he say? Up. For this is the day in which the Lord had delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down. We've been talking, arose, up, up, up. Now Barak, he says, up. And Barak went down from Mount Tabor and 10,000 men after him. Now, going down does not mean not going up. In other words, the word of God is saying he met the enemy where the enemy was going to be defeated. And verse 15, and the Lord discomfited Sisera. Who discomfited Sisera? The Lord. And all his chariots and all his hosts with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera did what? Lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. Why is he running on his feet when he has a chariot? Because his chariot is stuck in the mud. The weaponry of the enemy has been made useless. What he had his strength based on was now nothing. And now he starts running with his feet. And the Bible goes on. It says, watch this. But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the hosts unto Harosheth of the Gentiles, and all the hosts of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left of the multitude. Not one person is left. And Bible goes on and says in verse 17, howbeit Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael. Someone say Jael. Jael. Jael is the wife of Heber the Kenite. I find that name Jael very interesting because Jael means a mountain goat. Why do I find that interesting? Because mountain goats are very stable, no matter which way they're climbing. And that is God bringing stability into every area of your life. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. He says, for there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber. Heber means comrade. So these two, Jabin and Heber, were in alliance together. But there's a wife there called Jael, who's married to this one that had an alliance. But what is God going to do? God is going to overturn the table in a place where the enemy thought he had comfort. He is going to die there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you with me?
Yes.
Let's go further. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, turn in, my lord, turn in to me. Fear not. Of course, he's not going to be afraid. This is his buddy's wife, and he's going to be taken care of. But he says, and when he had turned in unto her, into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. She covered him, hid him under some rugs or whatever. And then the Bible says, and he said unto her, watch this. This is where it's going to turn around. Remember one of the things the Lord said to us, that it was going to be the year of the open door. Yes? He said unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of what? He asked for what?
Water.
She gave him what?
Milk.
Okay. And gave him drink and covered him. Now, what is milk going to do? Milk is going to make him so comfortable, he's going to sleep. God is overturning the table on the enemy. When the enemy thinks he's safe and secure, sudden destruction. Watch this. Again he said unto her, stand in the door of the tent. In other words, block the entrance. What did God say we have? Open door. But the enemy is trying to cause this woman to block the entrance. And it shall be when any man doth come and inquire of thee and say, is there any man here, that thou shalt say what? No. Watch the next verse. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent and took an hammer in her hand and went softly unto him, put it properly. Bang! And smote the nail into his temples, right through his head, right through his mind, right through whatever his thinking machine was. Is somebody listening? And fastened it into the ground. For he was fast asleep and what? Weary. He was tired because he's been running from his chariot that is stuck. Nobody else's chariot got stuck. Just his. And now he's running and he is wiped. He is tired. He is given milk. Water will refresh him. Milk puts him to sleep. God is going to feed the enemy what he needs to go to sleep. Somebody listening? Because the enemy that has been terrorizing you, terrorizing me, terrorizing us for the past 20 years must die today. In this year of 2020, the 20 years of mighty oppression ceases. It stops in Jesus' mighty name. He said, the Bible says, so he died. So he what? Died. The prophetess said, Barak, you're going to go after him, but he's going to be handed over to a woman. And that's exactly what happened. And verse 22, and behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said unto him, come, and I will show thee the what? The man whom thou seekest. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples. What is the message to us today? The message is very clear. Women, you need to take your position now. It is time for women to come up and begin to function in the grace that God has bestowed upon them. Amen? Because there's going to be restitution of all things. So the Bible says, so God subdued on that day Jabin the king of Canaan before the children of Israel. Now, let me wrap up by taking you to Judges 5 and verse 12. Judges 5 and verse 12. And the reason I want to share with you from Judges 5 and verse 12, because there's a word here He says, "Awake, awake, Deborah." What does it say? "Awake, awake, Deborah." "Awake, awake, utter a what? Song." First thing, a new song. Second thing, "Barak, and lead thy captivity," what? "Captive, thou son of Abinoam." Barak, lightning, flash. Lead captivity captive. Step into the realm of the suddenly. Just like lightning strikes suddenly. Step into that realm. What is happening here? God is speaking to Deborah and saying, this is the time for you to prophesy goodness into the lives of the men. I don't know if you're hearing. It is not your time to be in strife. It's not your time to tear down the men. This is your time to prophesy wholeness into their lives so that captivity can be led captive. Who speaks that? That's about the Lord. When he rose again from the dead and he gave gifts unto men. When he rose again from the dead, he was manifesting his glory. Somebody listening? That's one. Now, second thing I want to point to real quickly is Judges verse 5 and verse 20. This is a song that she's singing. It's a prophetic song. It says, they fought from where? From heaven. The stars in their court fought against Sisera. So it was heaven that was against Sisera. That was directing Sisera into the place of his defeat. That caused Sisera to get off his chariot. Listen, he could have jumped into another person's chariot. No, but God makes your enemies become foolish. I declare foolishness on every enemy in Jesus' name. Is somebody listening?
Yes.
The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. This is a heavenly thing. Blessed be the name of the living God. Hallelujah. 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 In verse 15 of Judges 5 and 12. Or rather, Judges 5, verse 15. It says, the princes of where? Issachar were with Deborah. The princes of what? Issachar were with whom? Deborah. Who are these people of Issachar? 1 Chronicles 12 and verse 32. First Chronicles 12 and verse 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were what? Men that had understanding of the what? Times. To know what Israel ought to do. They were aware of what Israel needed to do. They had understanding of the times. They had understanding of the season. They had understanding of where Israel was at and what Israel needed to be doing right now. Unlike the sons of Issachar, I am speaking to you women here, there, around the world, by the Spirit of God. Women, it is time for you to take your position of intercession, of worship, your position of speaking into the lives of the men that God has placed in your lives, speaking into the lives of your sons. Hallelujah. Speaking into them, raising them up. This is not a time to tear them down. This is a time to speak only that which is good, because you trust God. Listen, as daughters of Sarah, who called Abraham Lord, understand that Sarah did not call Abraham Lord because Abraham was doing all the right things. I can show you in the Bible that Abraham was not that wonderful. Hello. If your wife says to you, hey, see this woman over here, my maid, take her. And you say, yes, ma'am, something's wrong with you. But she called him Lord, not because he was so perfect, but because he was pronouncing the blessing of God into his life. The son was close to 30 years old when he was going to sacrifice him. Sarah did not block him from fulfilling the mandate of the Lord. Are you with me? Listen, you don't know what your prophetic statement into the life of that man, that son, what it's going to do. But this is the season for that. For Jesus, listen, the word of God is very, very clear. Even before Jesus went to the cross, guess what the Bible began to say? It started mentioning women that ministered unto him. Nobody ministered to the Lord. The women. Hello? Women, it's time for you to minister to the men of God, the sons of God that God has placed in your life. Don't go there and start griping and talking foolishness. Just speak the blessing. Trust God to make them the mighty men that they are called to be. Hallelujah. Sisera ended with Deborah speaking the word and Jael finishing it up with a nail to the temple. This is finished. This enemy that has been fighting us, this one that is so good and vast in warfare, finished. It was not the man. It was the woman that did the finishing touch. Are you with me? So I'm going to wrap up today by inviting women that are ready to take their rightful position to just stand. Women that are going to take their rightful position and begin to prophesy good, singing a new song. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Mama to come. I'm going to pray too, but I'm going to ask Mama to come first to speak the blessing and the authorization that is needed in the lives, into the lives of the women right now. God is going to use your life. Amen? Hallelujah. God is going to use your life and is going to use you mightily. You're going to come alongside of the man to fulfill the mandate. It was not the woman that went to start killing Sisera's army, wiping them out, but they played a powerful role in speaking the prophetic word and finishing it. Praise the Lord. Mama, pray.
Everybody close your eyes. Let's pray. Even though we're praying for women, men, get involved. Don't travel anywhere in your mind. First of all, let everybody, all the women say, Lord,
Lord,
I forgive all the men in my life that has hurt me. I release them now in the name of Jesus. So you have to forgive so the heavens will be open to hear your prayer. Amen? All right. Say, Heavenly Father, we come to you this day. We take our rightful place in you as you have spoken that this year is the year of the woman. Lord, let the anointing that is coming down from heaven to cause them to be who they need to be, let it begin to function now in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, I'm going to pray the rest. Father God, I ask now, God, that you will touch every woman hearing the sound of my voice. In the mighty name of Jesus, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's not by what they know and what they can or cannot do. Is by your spirit. So what your spirit is about to do right now, let it be a reality in their lives. Anoint every woman that hears my voice. Touch their lives, oh God, that they become women who pray, who intercede for their family, who intercede for their husband, who intercede for their sons, who intercede for their daughters, who intercede for their household, who intercede for their churches, who intercede for their workplaces, who intercede for their city and for their nation, who begin to speak the word of the Lord. Let their emotion not run wild, but let them commit themselves to you, Almighty God, that they will begin to flow in the things of the Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, that you will put the word of the Lord in their mouth to pray over their husbands and their sons and their daughters, to begin to prosper, to begin to prosper, to begin to prosper, that every weakness will fall off their family. In the mighty name of Jesus, the things that want to block them, the things that want to block their husband, they will be able to put that nail through their temples. In the mighty name of Jesus, and finish the work of the enemy in their household. In the mighty name of Jesus, I said, devil, enough is enough. Not in my household. Not in my household. Every plan of the enemy is nailed to the ground. Now, this is what I want you women to do. Put your hand up and do the gesture of nailing every demonic activity and everything that wants to wreck your home. Nail it down now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, that you put your fire in their hearts, that they will begin to pray with strength and begin to speak life in the mighty name of Jesus. Take your coals of fire and begin to burn away everything that is does not belong in your heart, in their mind, and in their mouth. In the mighty name of Jesus, that the word of the Lord will flow freely like a fresh water of the Holy Ghost coming through. And Lord, we thank you for touching every husband, every son, every daughter, and every grandchildren, and everyone in their entire household. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody shout hallelujah. Praise God. Everyone rise. Father, we are thankful. Your word says that in the times of trouble, you will hide us in your pavilion. In the secret of your tabernacle shall you hide us. You shall set us upon a rock. This day we declare in the name of Jesus that we, your people called by your name, are delivered from the strife of tongues. We declare that every plan and every strategy of the enemy is brought to naught right now. We thank you, Lord, O God, that the spirit of Sisera is destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, O God, we thank you, Lord, O God, that instead of Sisera instructing Jael to block the entrance, and Lord, oh God, that Sisera, oh God, this day is destroyed and the door of entrance is open. So, Lord, oh God, that the one that comes like a lightning, the one that comes, oh God, suddenly, oh God, will come in and see that the work of the Lord has been accomplished. Thank you, Lord, Father Almighty, that we come into your rest, that favor is upon us, that grace abounds towards us, that your presence is with us. You will never leave us nor forsake us. Father, this day, I ask, O God, that husbands and wives will come into alliance, that Heber will not be in alliance with Jabin. But Lord, oh God, that the alliance of the enemy be destroyed now. Let the enemy of our souls be deceived. Let the deceiver be deceived. Let the deceiver be deceived. Let the deceiver be deceived. In Jesus' mighty name. Let grace abound towards your sons and your daughters. Father, we thank you for the sufficiency of grace. We thank you, Lord, that every yoke is destroyed and every burden removed. We thank you, Lord, that your glory is revealed in us now. We declare this in that name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ, our sovereign. We are one, united. Therefore, the devil has no place in our lives. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You may be seated.